so strong. It's so strong. I hope I'm able to get through this. I'll be able to get through it. So, you know, the Lord's been dealing with me about some things for a few months, and it's just escalating. I've been praying. When I pray, I'm like, God, take me deeper. You know, take me deeper. I want to go deeper. I don't want to stay shallow. I don't want to. I want to go deeper. And, you know, I was thinking about that song, Oceans. Y'all have heard it. You know, take my feet, wait, deeper than I could ever wonder, or my faith would be made stronger. But when you pray that, I always heard, you might not want to pray that, because when he starts doing stuff like that, it starts getting a little scary. But nevertheless, I prayed it because I want to go deeper. I want to be more than what I am. I want to go deeper than where I am. So I've been praying that, and I feel like the Lord has given me something tonight. So I'm going to talk to us tonight, which I talk to us a lot when I come up to talk. I usually do talk about this, but I'm going to talk to us about prayer again. You know, it's time for the church to rise up. It is time for us to rise up. We have been too comfortable for too long. We've just been skipping through the tulips like whatever happens, happens. Not even trying to fight it, not trying to buck it like the Lord wants us to do, not from our flesh, but just accepting everything like it is and not really fighting the enemy. And I want to take it to him tonight. I want to be on the offense. I don't want to be on the defense. I want to be on the offense towards him. So we're going to read tonight in 2 Chronicles 7:14. And we know this scripture, we've heard it so much lately, but we're going to hear it again tonight. And it says, if my people, which are called by my name, who's that? That's us. Shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. We need to require as a necessity. We need to crave his face and turn from our wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their, I'll forgive their sin and will heal their land. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that your word never comes back void, Lord. I ask, God, that you just let your will be done in us, God. Lord, use us, God. Lord, use us the way that you want to use us, God. Lord, work through us, God. Use us as a vessel to you, Lord. God, change us. Take us deeper than our feet could ever wander, God. Lord Jesus, help us to have faith in you. Increase our faith, God. Lord, let us be everything that you've called us to be, God, because we know it is the end time, Lord. We know, God, that the church needs to stand up, God. Help us, God. Give us the strength to do what you've called us to do. And everybody says, in Jesus' name, Jesus' name. You may sit down. You can be seated. So we've heard this scripture a lot lately. But let's take a look at it one more time, okay? So, you know, if my people, which are called by my name, and we've established who those people were, right? Those people are us, shall humble themselves. So what does it mean to humble yourself? So I think part of it means that we humble our flesh into submission to God. So you have to tell your flesh, I don't know if you know this sometimes, you have to say, flesh, you're going to pray right now. Flesh, you're not going to eat right now. Flesh, you're going to get up and you're going to go to church right now. Because if you don't, it will tell you what to do. It will tell you, you know what, I don't really feel like praying. You don't feel like praying. You've got so much to do. You got to go to the mall. I mean, there's a new dress there. You want it. You got to go to TJ Maxx. There's always stuff there that you need. You don't even know you need. Okay? I mean, it tells you stuff like that. But really, you need to pray. I mean, this is things that go through my mind when I'm praying during the day. You got to go to TJ Maxx. You got to go to the grocery store. But really, it's just the enemy trying to get us off track. We have got to tell our flesh, you're going to pray. You are going to pray. Okay? There's no other, you're not getting out of it. You're going to do it. You're going to fast. I know you hate to fast. It's horrible. But you're going to do it. You can do it one day a week. You can do it one day a week. You're not in charge of me. You're not in charge. I mean, you've got to let it know who's in charge, because if you don't, it will be in charge of you, okay? So we have to humble our flesh into submission to God. We have to tell our flesh, I need a water. I'm sorry. Can I get one? You have to tell your flesh that it's not in control. You have to tell it that it's not in control when you pray, of when you pray or when you eat. You force it to do what God wants it to do. So, thank you. So let's talk about humbling or humble. Okay, so the definition of humble, there's many different ones, but it's having or showing a modest or low esteem of one's own importance. Meek, respectable, submissive, that's humble. Humbling yourself to God means coming before Jesus in awe and reverence of who he is. We have the opportunity every time we come to church to step into the presence of God. Do you know how many people would pay money to feel what we feel if they really knew about it? They would give everything they had. We have that opportunity all the time, and we take it for granted. We take it for granted. We have to come in awe and reverence despite what people think of us. You know, y'all see me up here a lot. And brother, I don't know if it was brother Sean or Sister Courtney, one of them was telling me, they're like, every time Sister McCoy comes to church, it's like she's fighting the devil. It is like that. I feel like that a lot. But a lot of times, I want to get in God's presence. I don't care what anybody thinks of me, because I know what he's done for me. I know where he's brought me from. And if I could just get in his presence one more time, if I could just usher in the presence of the Lord, he can change me one more time. He can fill me one more time. He can give me strength to overcome everything that I have to overcome. One more time. That's what I'm doing. I am fighting the enemy. I'm trying to get past those walls that he's put up. But we all need to be doing that. We all need to be pushing. I push. I do. And I'm not saying I'm super important or I know I'm not. I know what I am. If half of y'all knew what I was, y'all would be like, Sister McQuay, so good. Why is she even up there? But I know how much of a failure that I am, and I know how much that I need God, and that is why I push so hard, because I know what it is without him, and I know what I'm like without him, and I do not want to be that way. I want to be more than what I am. I want to be more than what I was, and that is why I push. That is why I push. So we have to come in awe and reverence despite of what anybody thinks of us. When we turn from our wicked ways, that part of the scripture, and turns from their wicked ways, they're talking to us. The scripture is talking to us. We have wicked ways. What are those wicked ways? I think that's talking about not listening to God and doing what he wants to do, what he wants us to do. We don't. We have to be honest with ourselves. A lot of the times we don't listen to God. If we listened to God, we'd be running the aisles more. We would be jumping and worshiping all over this place. We would be praying for each other. We'd be praying for people in the grocery store. We would be telling people at the gas pump how much God loves them if we listen to him. But we always have an excuse why we don't have to listen to him. We always have an excuse why we can't do that or why we can't do this. But that is, we've got to turn from those ways. It's not making time for God. That's turning from our wicked ways. We want to make time for him. I want to make time for God. I want to make more time for him than I've ever made before. So 1 Corinthians 16:11, it says, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. So what does it mean to seek his face? So my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. I'm sorry, I got these out of order. Seek my face. So what does it mean to seek his face? Do we know? When we're seeking his face, we're seeking his presence. We are seeking his presence. So like a lot of times I'm praying. You know when I'm praying a lot of times up here? I'd say maybe 50% of the time I feel nothing. That might shock y'all, but I feel nothing. But guess what? I'm trying to feel something. I am trying to seek his face. I need him. I need him to turn and look at me. I need him to look at me. I need to know that he's listening to me. So we have some moms in this house tonight, I'm sure. And have you ever had a child? Mama, and you're there's words. I have selective hearing. The word mama, there's different tones to the word mama. Mama, 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 mama. I can tone that one right out. Mama! Okay, I'm coming running. Ask my kids. I'll take off running. But it's the mama, mama, mama. I'm going to turn it out. But if they keep on, and then they keep on, I'm going to turn it like, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want, baby? get your attention, right? They get your attention. Do you know that is what we're supposed to be doing with God? God, God, hey, God, I love you. God, look at me, Jesus. I need you. I need you, Lord. I love you, God. I worship you, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, look at me, God. Look at me. Then he'll turn to us. He'll turn to us. But he's not going to turn to us like, what do you want? He's going to be like, what do you need, baby? What do you need? I'm here. I'm here. We've got to seek his face. Psalms 105 and 4, it says, look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Continually. I mean, we don't have to, you know, always be in a state of, you know, holier than thou. We can have fun and stuff like that, but every time you got a free moment, Jesus, Jesus is on my mind. I need you, Jesus. I need you to protect my kids, God. I need you to protect my husband. I need you to protect the church. Jesus, Lord, I love you. It's continuously on my mind. James 4:17, it says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. Another translation, it says, therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him that is a sin. James 4:17 again, and another one, it says, remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then you don't do it. The Lord tells us to pray without ceasing. Therefore, since praying is the right thing to do, failing to do it is a sin. We need to get this right. We don't have to pray, which we do, the Lord tells us to do, but we get to pray. We get to pray. I mean, I know that, you know, we hear that all the time, but you know, there's people in China that if they're even caught with their eyes closed, looking like they're praying, they get put in jail. We get to pray, and not only do we get to pray, but we get to feel the presence of the creator of the universe when we pray. I mean, how awesome is that? How awesome is that? We get to do that. We can seek his face. We can turn from our wicked ways, and he'll forgive us. He'll forgive us, and he will heal our land. I'm so thankful that we have his word, that it never fails, that we can stand on his word. And if we follow his word, that he will do everything his word tells us to do. So we are in a war, whether you know it or you don't. There is a spiritual war going on. I don't know if y'all ever come into church sometimes. I don't know if it's just me. And the music's pumping and you know, it's good. And it's like, I can't feel a thing. I can't feel, there's like a wall. There's a wall up. And that is why I am seeking him. I'm going to get through that wall. Okay? I have come too far. He has brought me too far for him to stop me from getting any walls that he puts up in front of me. So we're in a war. There is a spiritual war going on that we can't see. We have to be vigilant. We have to be. We have to make up in our minds like our life depended on it. Like it's the most important thing to us, for us to seek God's face. We have to do it. We have to do it. We don't have a choice. We are living in the end time. I don't know if y'all know it or not, or paying attention or any kind of attention to what's going on, but we are living in the end time. We've got to get this right. We don't have a choice. We have to get it right. We have to be aware. We have to be aware of what's going on around us. We have to have discernment. You know, when we get the Holy Ghost, when everybody gets the Holy Ghost, everybody in here that has the Holy Ghost, you get a portion of discernment. If you listen to the Holy Ghost when you get around people or when you get in certain situations, it's going to tell you what to do. It's discernment. When you hear things and it doesn't sound right and it doesn't feel right, listen to it. It's discernment. We have authority through the Holy Ghost. We have so much authority. We need to use it. If you believe the Bible, then you know that there's a war going on. We don't have the luxury, and I say this a lot, and it's the truth. We don't have the luxury of skipping through the tulips. We do not have the luxury of not knowing what's going on. The Bible says that my people perish because of lack of knowledge. We've got to know what's going on. We've got to pray for wisdom and knowledge beyond our wisdom and knowledge. We've got to know what's going on. So many of us Christians are content with the way things are. We're good. We're good when we come to church and we sit on the pew, we pay our tithes, we listen to the sermon, we clap our hands, we go home, and we just go through our days through the week, and then we come to Wednesday service and we do the same thing over, and we're good with that. I'm tired of being good with that. I want something supernatural. I want something unexpected. I want the gifts of the Spirit to flow like it's just second nature or first nature. I want those things. I don't want to be content. I don't want to be content. You know, we don't mean business. We don't mean business, or no one could keep us out of a prayer meeting. Nobody could keep us from pre-service prayer. We don't mean business. We don't even realize what we're able to do through prayer, because if we did, no one could stop us. No one. So when's the last time we've seen signs that follow? These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall cast out demons. Have we ever seen that? No. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Then they'll pick up snakes. We're not going to do all that. We're not going to drink any deadly thing. But when is the last time that we've seen those things? We have to pray for those things. We have to seek after those things. Step out in faith after those things. James 5:16, it says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The Amplified Version, this is like, you know how you have, you know, accounting, and then you have that book, Accounting for Dummies? The Amplified Version is the Bible for Dummies. That's the one I like. It says, the heartfelt and persistent prayer, break it down for me, right? Tell me exactly how it is. The heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much when put into action and made effective by God. It is dynamic and it can have tremendous power. We have to push. We don't just stop because we don't feel anything. We don't stop in pre-service prayer because we don't feel anything. We've got to push. We have to keep pushing. Jesus, Jesus, Dad, 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 keep on until he looks at you. Seek his face. God, we are in the end time. We are in the end time. We've got to get it right. I've got to get it right. I want him to say, well done. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. I want to bring people to church. I want to win souls. We have got to get this right. I'm talking to myself. I don't want to come across as I'm getting on anybody. I hope that I'm not, because I'm talking to myself. So what does a fervent prayer look like? So I just, like I said, I'm not trying to get on to anyone. I just know what I feel in the spirit, and we are not giving it all that we can. I'm in pre-service prayer, and I look around, and I'm not, would never. But people are just sitting there. They're not pushing. They're not praying. They're not trying to get God's attention. And guess what? You're not going to get it. You're not going to get it. We got to raise our voice. You don't have to scream. If you're a quiet person, you don't have to scream. But you can raise your voice a little. You can pray, can meditate on him, seek him, seek after him. There's so much more to this than just what we have here. There's so much deeper that we want to go. There's so much deeper he wants to bring us. If it's something that is important to us, we find a way to do it. Y'all have heard that. It's the truth. If it's important, we find a way. We can't wait till it's too late. Prayer and seeking the face of God, humbling ourselves, has to be the most important thing in the world to us. It has to be. If it's not, pray for it. I pray for it. I do. God, I want it to mean more to me than anything. I want it to mean everything to me. I want to seek your face. I want to humble myself. Luke 16:8, it says, for the children of this world are in their generation. I skipped down. There's a part of it. in the middle. It says, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. So what it's saying is they know more about what they're doing than us Christians know about what we're doing. I started feeling really bad about a week ago before Halloween, around the and it got really bad on the 30th. And then on the 31st, I couldn't even hardly get out of the bed. I felt so bad. I was so sick. My body felt bad. I was so down. I just had this hopeless feeling come over me. I mean, it was just like I wanted to die. I would never get rid of myself, of course. But it was just that feeling like, oh, God, you know, I just felt so hopeless. I guess like the enemy feels. I couldn't figure out what was going on. I felt this dread and this darkness surround me. And I knew it was spiritual. I knew it was, and I couldn't fight it. It was just so strong. The day after Halloween, it kind of eased up a little bit, and I was scrolling through Facebook, and I came across an article about a group of witches on Facebook that were praying about the election. I went to their page. I don't recommend that you do that, but anyway, I did it because I wanted to see. And I read things that they were saying. I saw the post that they were pics that they were posting. They were binding this. This is witches, okay? They were binding this and they were binding that. They were staying up all night on the night of the full moon to pray for the outcome of the election and casting all kinds of spells on our current administration. It was unbelievable. Setting up altars, all picture after picture of altars, people's picture in it with it on fire, and then it was really unbelievable. Setting up altars, making voodoo dolls of all of our current president, praying their will on this election and our nation. It was literally unbelievable to me. I couldn't believe it. I mean, it floored me to see. And the sad thing, they would put a lot of us to shame at the time and effort that they gave for this election and our nation. Their time, their effort. Why do you think they did that? Why do you think they did? Because they know that there's power in prayer. And they're not even praying to the right person. Whether we like it or not, I'm going to say it again, we are in spiritual warfare. What are we going to do about it? Are we just going to hear another sermon about spiritual warfare, another sermon about prayer, go home unchanged? Is that what we're going to do? Or are we going to let the Lord get a hold of us this time? Are we going to let him get a hold of us and change us and take us to depths that we've never been before? Take us to places we've never seen. That's what I want. That's what I want him to do. I want to fight. I want to fight these battles. And I want to win these battles. We are not wimps. We are an army of God. We have power. We need to use the power that we have. We need to stand up and we need to fight for what we believe. And you know how we fight? We fight it through prayer. We fight it through fasting. We don't riot. We don't burn things down. We fight through prayer. We fight through the word of God. We fight through fasting. That is what we do. And there is so much power that is available to us. So much power. So much. We know how this story ends. And I want to do my part. Like the song says, I know how this story ends. We know. We know who wins. We know who wins. It really has nothing to do, the election, our nation. It really has nothing to do about who we support or what party we are for, but it is a battle between good and evil. It's between the Spirit of God and the spirit of the Antichrist. And it's no time for us to play. We've been playing too long. There are souls in the balance. Our nation is in the balance. I feel like he has sent me here tonight to warn us that we have to get a burden for prayer. We have to get a burden for our nation and for the souls of our world. We have to. That's what we're here for. Plan A. There's a plan A. You know God always has plan A, but did you know that God has a plan B too? There's the perfect will of God, and then there's another way, the will of God. I want the perfect will of God. Plan A is if we pray, or plan B is if we don't. And I want plan A. So I have a question. How serious are we? Really? I'm talking to myself. I have been skipping through the tulips. This whole corona thing, I was telling the ladies in prayer the other morning, I was going to be home every day, and I was going to get up, and I was going to pray, and I was going to read my... It didn't happen. It didn't. I mean, I wasn't backslid, but I was nowhere where I needed to be. Nowhere. It threw me off my feet. I was not serious. But how much do we pray? How much do we pray? God, stir us. Convict us. Change us. Lord, take my heart, God. Change my heart. Change my heart to be like you. I want it to be like fire shut up in my bones. I want the Holy Ghost working through me everywhere I go. I want to be so full of the Holy Ghost that it doesn't matter what happens. It just falls off of my back, because I know who holds the world. I know who I have my trust in, and that is God. And you know what? He has never failed me. Never, not one time. Even when I thought that he failed me, I look back now and he has never failed me. Never. I know sometimes we do not know how to pray. I do. I've been through that. The enemy, he tells us all kinds of things. You know, he tries so hard to get us off track because he knows how powerful that prayer is. He tries all kinds of things. This is what he used to do to me. Let me give you a few of them. Denise, how do you know you're praying right? I mean, you're wasting all this time and you don't even know if you're praying right. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You don't even know. You don't see anything changing. Why do you keep doing this? There's no, I mean, really, you don't. Are you sure this is working? Are you sure? Don't you need something from TJ Maxx? Don't you need something from Dillard's? You know, I mean, just all of this. You got to go to the grocery store. I always have to go to the grocery store. But, you know, he tells me these things. He wants so bad to get me off track and get my mind off focus. And it's worked for a very long time. But you know what? Not anymore. I put my foot down. I am tired of it. I am tired of going this way and that way and being blown every which way. I'm going to be like an oak tree that no matter what comes my way, I'm going to stand and I'm going to do the right thing. And it's going to come through prayer and through fasting. I know sometimes, you know, like I said, we don't know what to pray. A lot of times I don't know. But the Bible says, Romans 8:26-31, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. I'm so thankful for that all things are working for our good. We don't have to worry. It doesn't matter if the enemy doesn't think it's working, because you know what? He really does think it's working, or he wouldn't tell you it wasn't working. You just need to make up your mind. I'm going to do this. I don't care how I feel. I don't care if I feel anything or not. I'm going to do it and just do it, because I promise you, you will start feeling something. And then you'll get to the point where you can't wait to get down and pray, because you can feel that something's going on and you just want to get into the presence of God. You just want to be there, because that's the only place that you feel safe. You feel at rest. I was telling my husband today, we were talking about something, and I said, I'm going to go pray. He's like, again? And I'm like, not that I this is just lately, okay. I'm like, honey, it's the only place I feel peace. It's the only place I can find peace right now. And I said, I need it. And he's like, yeah, you're right, you need it. No, he didn't say that. He was saying, yeah, you're right. It is the place we can feel peace. But and then I want to skip down to verse 31. It says, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us, right? Who can be against us? There is nothing that can stand against God. It is not like you have God and then you have the devil. God has no equal. The devil is not God's equal. He's not. We need to stop letting him beat up on us. We need to stop letting him dictate what we're going to do with our prayer life, what we're going to do for God. We need to stop listening to that. Don't listen to anything that's negative. Make your mind up. Set your face. Is it like a flint? I don't know if I'm saying that right. It's set it right and do not turn it. Keep your eyes on the prize and just focus on it and keep praying and keep pushing. Keep pushing. So we have to do our part. God works through people. You know that? So does the devil. The devil works through people too. Ephesians 6:12, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Again, I say, we are in a battle, a spiritual battle, and I want to win. We have the power. We're going to win the war. I want to win the battles. Is that right? Yeah. We have the power, and we need to use it. All spiritual giants, that means principalities. If anybody knows how it works, there's principalities. There's demons over different regions and different areas. Those are called principalities. It's kind of set up like an army. There's different positions, and there's different ones over different areas. And the way that we get or push those principalities back is through prayer. That is how we push them back. So all spiritual giants, all spiritual principalities can be conquered through prayer and fasting. That is how it's done. Okay, I'm going to tell you, talk about this real quick. So when you start to attack a spirit through prayer, it sometimes turns around and attacks you. Okay, my girls, they used to come in here and pray at the house, and they would tell me, "Mom, every time I get to praying, I feel something come up to me, and it scares me, and I stop." Well, you're feeling the presence of the enemy. He doesn't want you to pray. He will do everything that he can to get you not to pray, but don't stop. You can feel it. You can feel the enemy, but he cannot cross the bloodline. He cannot hurt you. He cannot do anything to you. Remember, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He has no power over us unless the power that we give him. The Lord is warning us. We need to prepare and not just wait until it gets so bad to start preparing. We need to start now. We've got to be serious. We've got to be serious. Ezekiel 22:30, it says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." It could also read, "And God asked or begged or sought for or desired a champion to fence up and build a hedge for a design and to arise to repair and stand firm in the breach for the land, that he should not cast it off, but he found none." In other words, God saw that there was no man in those dark hours, no man to stand in the gap, no intercessor, and God just had to back up and send what he did not want to send. We have to pray. Now more than ever, we have got to pray. We've got to pray for God's will. The enemy is not playing games with us. If we realized the evil that he really was, the evil that he really is, it would freak us out. We have no clue. We've never seen that kind of evil because we're surrounded with good people. But he is so evil. He will do anything to destroy us. He will do anything to destroy our nation. It does not matter to him. God is looking for some breach repairers and some hedge builders. I want to be one. Prayer moves God to action. Impossibilities become possible, but it's going to cost us something. Are you willing to pay? It will cost us time. It will cost us energy. Maybe some days we will go without food, but it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth every minute that we pray. It's worth every, sometimes I get so tired, I don't want to pray. You know, sometimes I'm like, God, it's so hard. It just takes so, but it's worth it. It's worth every bite of food that we don't take for a little bit. It is worth it. When we intercede, we stand in the gap. Intercessors birth and change people's destinies through their obedience to the call of God. And you know what? Anybody can be an intercessor. Anyone. Prayer changes things. Why do you think the enemy fights you so hard not to pray if prayer does not change anything? He knows if it didn't work, do you think all these witches would be doing it? We can pray that the good overtakes the bad. Prayer and fasting gives us the power to stand in the gap. It is the only way that God can move, through our prayer and fasting. And we all can do it, not just one of us. It's not just one of us. So in Daniel 9 and 3, and I'm almost finished, it says, so I directed my attention towards the Lord to seek him by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloths, and ashes. Daniel 10 and 2, it says, in those days, I, Daniel, had been mourning for 3 entire weeks. And then in Daniel 12 and 13, it says, then he said unto me, do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I come to in response to your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was standing in opposition to me for 21 days. Then behold, one of the chief princes came to help me, for I had been left there with the king of Persia. That was a principality. The king of Persia is a principality. It's a demonic force. The messenger told Daniel that he had came for his words. Our words are so powerful in prayer. At the beginning of the fast, his words were heard. At the end of the fast, the spirit forces were broken through. And the angel appeared unto Daniel with the understanding that Daniel needed. When we need to always set our face till the answer comes. Be vigilant. God is no respecter of persons, and what he did for Daniel, he will do those for us who set our face until we see souls saved, delivered, and our petitions granted. Prayer and fasting breaks through the limitations the natural man has and opens doors that no man can open. It's so powerful. Just think about, like, common sense. I'm talking to myself. You know, you're always like, common sense. My dad always, like, told me, he's like, Denise, common sense is not very common. And the older that I get, I see what he's saying. Like, oh, okay, I get it. But it's true. But common sense would tell us, if the enemy fights us so hard not to pray, there must be something to it. And you know what? You don't have to feel something every time you pray. And guess what? When you don't feel something, it's still working. He's still working. You don't have to feel anything. The Bible says that we go not. Our feelings will lie to us. We don't listen to our feelings. But we do it because we are, the Lord tells us to do it. But not only that, it's because prayer changes things and it brings us closer to God. You might not feel something at first, but keep on. You're going to start feeling something. Okay, so this is what I'm telling myself right now. What if everything that happens in this end time depends solely on you? What if what's going on right now in our government, whatever the outcome is, what if it depends solely on your prayers? That's what drives me. Every time I get down to pray, I'm like, God, the fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. God, I want to be fervent, God. Let my prayers be fervent, God. Hear my prayers. Hear what I'm saying, Lord. Please make a way, God. Make a way, God. Let your will be done, Lord. Let your will be done. Not my will, God, but your will. And I just keep on, and I just keep talking, and I just keep talking, and then I'll start talking, and then I'll start feeling the Spirit, and then I'll start praying in the Spirit. And I know he's making intercession for me because his word says it, right? He knows what we need. He knows what this nation needs. All he's looking for is a man to stand in the gap. What if we all stood in the gap? How powerful would that be if we all stood in the gap? James 5, 16 and 8, it says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. And then on verse 17, it says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth fruit. That's one man that did that. One man's prayers. What if we all did this? Not just one or two or five, but all of us. If we pray earnestly, like our life depended on it, like souls depended on it, like our family depended on it, what would happen? What if we stood in the gap? So I come to you tonight with what the Lord has laid on my heart. And he's been talking to me. I'm talking to myself. I hope I don't feel like I'm preaching to you. I'm talking to myself. So in closing right now, I want to read Matthew 18, 18. And I want us to do something in just a minute. But Matthew 18, 18, it says, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Matthew 18, 18, it says, it's the same verse. I'm reading it a different way for the dummies. I assure you, I'm talking to myself, nobody else. I assure you and most solemnly say to you, whatever you forbid or you declare to be improper or unlawful on earth shall have already been bound in heaven. And whatever you permit or declare lawful on earth shall have already been loosed in heaven. So tonight, that's what we're going to do. We're going to do this all together. We always want to make sure that we're praying in the will of God and not just what we want. Okay, we always want to make sure that. In Matthew 18, 19 through 20, it says, again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. So we're going to be in agreement tonight, okay? We're going to be in agreement. So we're going to pray for our nation. We're going to pray for our city. Okay, because this is the end time. It's coming. If y'all can't feel it, pray for a burden. It's so strong. I can't hardly bear it. It's so strong. We're going to pray for our nation. We are going to agree. And we're going to bind. We're going to forbid. We are going to forbid the spirit of the Antichrist from working. We are going to forbid the spirit of Jezebel from working. So right now, we're going to be in agreement. We're going to all say, we agree. We agree in the name of Jesus. God, we forbid the spirit of the Antichrist from working in the name of Jesus. We forbid it from working in the name of Jesus. God, we forbid the spirit of Jezebel from working in the name of Jesus. God, you back it up, God. Make it retreat, Lord. Back it up, Lord, in the name of Jesus. It is not time yet. It is not the time yet, God, in the name of Jesus. And tonight we are going to loose, we are going to permit truth and justice and victory. Right now, we're going to agree right now. Lord, we are agreeing that we are going to permit truth and justice and victory in the name of Jesus. God, we permit, God, in the name of Jesus. We loose your truth, we loose your justice, and we loose your victory in the name that is above it.